playground.
Hooray! Drag queens tend to get all the attention. Between RuPaul's Drag Race and Drag Queen Brunch, Bingo, and Story Hour, we hear about queens all the time. But drag kings have been around for just as long and are finally starting to get more attention. I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. I sat down with a drag king from Dallas, Texas, to find out what it's like to be a male impersonator. You might be surprised by what they have to say.
Hi, my name is, well, my government name is Chandra Kundak, but I go by Trigger Mortis, but my drag name is Buck Wild.
And you're a drag king.
I am a drag king.
Drag queens all the time, but we don't get to hear about drag kings as much, so I'm super excited to talk to you.
Yes. And
your name, Trigger Mortis, that's your roller derby name?
That is my roller derby name. And I was played roller derby for years and it just kind of stuck. So, you know, my mom calls me that. My mother-in-law calls me that, really. she goes, hey, Trig, do you want some iced tea? And I'm like, sure. I just kind of stuck. And, you know, I still go by it after all these years. It just is me. You know?
Well, I used to be the Alexorcist in the roller derby, so I understand. I'm also retired.
That is so cool. What a small world.
So let's talk about being a drag king. You're like an award-winning drag king. You've got some accolades behind you. What did you win?
Well, I won Mr. Seba All-American King. It was the first of its kind. So okay. I was the initial crown holder for that in 2014.
Okay.
And I won that at Sue Ellen's in Dallas. And that is one of the last remaining lesbian bars in the world.
Okay.
So I think that's pretty cool. I got that title and I won it. Actually, my talent was skating.
Oh, you skated as a drag king?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was going to say is what other talents do you do? What do you do as a drag king?
Yeah. I am amazing with hair.
Okay. You really are.
I put my hair in a pompadour and I put it into different styles. I'm one of the few drag kings, I think, that doesn't wear a wig. I mean, there's some that do wear wigs and there's some that don't, but I made a decision to just do like giant hairstyle, giant, like, I don't know, stray cat style pompadour with my hair early on. My persona was going to be like this rockabilly king.
Yeah.
And so I decided to do that. And I've got a secret way to put my hair up into this giant pompadour where it looks like that's my hair. And it is. People ask all the time. They're like, is that a wig or is that your hair? I'm like, nope, that's my hair.
I 100% thought it was a wig. It looks very good.
Now I've gotten to where I kind of will do my hair down sometimes. I'm comfortable with my masculinity enough that I will wear it down like flowing locks sometimes, you know. So it's evolution, you know, it happens.
So your drag name is Buck Wild, but yes. It looks like you dress up as several different sort of characters. I saw like a werewolfy type character and like what looked like possibly a religious type character.
Oh yes. Well, actually, when I first started drag, I was only Buck Wild. And I go by Buck Wild no matter what. But I, at the beginning, I just was really trying to develop that base character. So I would wear, I was like a 60s mod, rockabilly sort of Elvis inspired, like a little Richard inspired. I mean, it was like every man I loved. there's some John Travolta in there, like some Danny Zuko. I just kind of wrapped it all up into one character and I was just spent time developing that. And I just wore suits all the time and just did different songs. As drag evolved and I started to evolve, I started exploring different characters, and I have a Hades character where I'm sort of like an Arthur Brown, like Alice Cooper, like dark metal look, you know, kind of thing. And yeah. I have like this little puff of fire that comes out of my hand. I've added magic tricks in here. So I'm a magician also too.
Really?
Of sorts. And I have a sexy drag Jesus character, which is, you know, I wondered if people would be cool with that, but they seem to love it because he's kind of like a Donny Osmond, like Frankie Valli. I do a Frankie Valli number to that.
As Jesus.
I do Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's funny, right? At Long Last Love Has Arrived, and I Thank God I'm Alive. Yeah, so there's a lot of comedy. There's a lot of little jokes in there, little puns. That's part of drag, you know, is finding the right song for the puns. Yeah, I originally was doing like one character, but now I've got fully developed looks for each number, which makes it difficult to do quick changes, but you know, it looks really good. I have a devil number, a pachuco like zoot suit devil number, and a yeah, like you said, like you told me earlier, like you mentioned earlier, the big bad wolf number.
Yeah.
Is he's a, you know, kind of a lecherous, like creepy wolf that he does a Joe Tex number called I Gotcha, and he just lurks around the crowd and just messes with everybody, and you know, he has a tail that when he like sort of with consent rubs up on somebody, his tail will rise, you know, very suggestively, very slowly.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny, but yeah.
And you mentioned consent. That's sort of like a really big deal, consent.
It is a huge deal. And I think that what I was saying earlier is Buck is stitched together with all of the good parts of a man and none of the bad parts. So, and that's, I think, what kind of the attraction of drag kings are, is that people that come to see us, they know that they're safe, in a safe space with us. Everything that we do really promote consensuality. Consent. We promote consent. But yeah, so they come to our shows, and if we are going to do anything that is involved with the crowd where we actually touch somebody, we ask somebody ahead of time.
Okay.
So that they know we're going to touch them. We don't want it to be a big surprise.
Right.
Not that anybody would be, you know, offended by it really, but we just want to make sure that, you know, that they feel safe in that space, because that is a sacred space.
Absolutely.
And another, on the other hand of it, that the MC Roxy Rendezvous at our shows, she, mentions to never touch the performers, unless you're invited to. So it's, consent works both ways, as in life, but the main part of it is that people that come to our shows are in a safe space. And if we do anything, we don't do anything like gross or lecherous or anything, unless we're doing it in the context of poking fun at the patriarchy. So
gotcha.
We'll be making fun of, yeah, making
so
fun of it. And
it's not like you're making fun of men necessarily, but you're making fun of the patriarchy. I feel like you're almost admiring men.
Yes. I believe that's true. Okay, so that's touching on something really interesting. So when I was younger, I really, really loved John Travolta. And I thought I had a crush on him. I had a big crush on him when I was a kid. I had a watch with his picture on it. It was from Saturday Night Fever. As I got older, I mean, I couldn't get over him. I just was always John Travolta, everything. And as I got older and then I started doing drag, I started incorporating John Travolta's, you know, essence into my performance. And I was like, huh, maybe I wasn't attracted to John Travolta in traditional sense. Maybe I wanted to be John Travolta. And I think it's possible. Well, it's possible that you can be both. You can be attracted to him and want to be them. And there's no rules.
Right.
Any of the rules that are there are, you know, put in front of you by society. You know, it's the construct is what we're trying to break down anyway. So
right.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, it is an admiration of men, but it's also, you know, poking fun at the patriarchy is a big deal too.
Absolutely. And you kind of gotta get, you have to do that.
Yeah.
Where do you perform? Do you just perform? You live in Dallas, that's where you reside. So
yes.
Do you just perform in Dallas or in the state of Texas, or do you travel all over to do this?
Actually, I've been traveling a lot lately. I did Austin International Drag Festival. I just got back from Des Moines, Iowa. And
okay.
Des Moines has a huge, like I think it's the country's largest drag king show.
Okay.
At Pride. And so it was 2 days of drag king performances. And it was so, so cool. So I just got back from there. I will be in Oklahoma City for another show coming up in the next couple of months. I'm going to Arkansas soon, and Hot Springs loves their drag kings. So
really,
yeah.
And now, is it? I, of course, we hear about drag queens and their shows all the time. Is it unusual to find a just drag king show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will tell you that is true, because I can tell you there are 20 different brunches in Dallas and they're all drag queens. It is very, very rare. Maybe one drag king once a month shows up at or pops up in a drag brunch. And it's because, you know, most of these drag shows are produced by essentially cis men. I mean, it's like they might be drag queens, but it's the patriarchy in heels. So you know, they decide who gets booked and who doesn't. And I don't talk about it a lot because I still want to get booked, you know. I do get booked, and I appreciate those queens that pay attention to the drag kings and want to include them because, you know, we really need them. I will tell you, Roxy Rendezvous is one of the producers of Mustache Envy, which is the drag king centric show that the troupe that I'm in. Okay. And she is she's a queen, and she's a huge, huge supporter of kings, loves the kings. Nice. And along with Cher Musico and Carrie Musico, who are some of the original Mustache Envy producers. And Maymay Graves, my drag wife, will book kings, and loves the kings, you know. So it's so great that we have support from a handful of queens that want to book us. And, you know, we really appreciate that. But a lot of times we have to create our own shows to get booked. So, and that's fine. We love a good all king show. I just was the co-producer on a show here in Dallas. It was all king. It was the first all king pride show. At Thunderbird Station here in Dallas. And it was such a good show. It had a great turnout. And I think that this is the decade of the drag king, because people are really, really responding to drag kings lately. I'm hearing less of, I've never even heard of a drag king. You know, I'm hearing less of that now. And I can say that that's probably as a result of Landon Sider winning Dragula. So that show, that it's like the polar opposite of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Have you heard of Dragula?
I have not, but okay, I need to see it now.
You have got to see it. It is like RuPaul's Drag Race, but for drag monsters.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's like spooky, creepy, like special
you
effects.
You have a scary one, so that would be perfect.
Yes. I do think that that show has influenced the direction of drag altogether. So a lot of queens and kings have like kind of geared their drag towards like this spooky drag. Yeah, it happens a lot now. Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, it's Dragula really just changed the space.
And did you start performing as a drag, or do you ever perform as a female?
I do have a half and half number. I have a number where I dance with myself, where I'm half male and half female, like right split right down the middle. So I do have one number where I perform as Buck Wild and Trigger Mortis, but it's the only one I've got. I don't really do AFAB queen performances, or I think some people call them hyper queens.
I don't know what that is. You'll have to explain that to me.
Oh, okay. AFAB is assigned female at birth.
Okay.
That's how you define a person that was born female.
Okay.
And performs as a queen.
Okay.
So, yeah. So another way to call it would be hyper queen.
Okay.
So they do everything that a queen would do. They wear padding and they wear prosthetic chests. And they wear giant wigs and like over embellish the makeup and giraffe lashes and things like that.
Right.
And there's a space for them too. And I love a good AFAB queen. If I am sitting there going, what am I looking at? That they're doing their job right. You know,
so there's no rules. Like if you want to be a drag queen, you don't have to have been born a male or identify as a male. And if be a drag king, you don't have to have been born as a female or identify as a male.
That is absolutely true. There are some AMAB kings too. Sir Maxim in Austin is a really great AMAB king. And he wears a prosthetic chest plate with abs on it and everything. And I mean, he is like a trip. I just love watching him. I started out performing long, 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 long time ago.
Okay.
I've been on the stage since I was a little kid.
Okay.
My mom put me in pageants, in a baby pageants, you know, like,
oh
yeah. So with the ruffly dresses and the little ruffly socks and
how funny.
Yeah, the rhinestones on the in the hair and things like
okay.
that. Yeah, and so I had to do I still remember it. I don't even know how I remember these things, but I was very little, and I had to do talent where I think one of my first earliest memories was being on stage and being aware of the fact that I was performing in a chicken suit, dancing to a song and singing I Am a Groovy Chicken. And then I had to answer some pageant questions after that. So I've been on stage for a long time, but I did at one point say to my mom, she was fixing my hair and I started crying and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I said, I want to be a boy. And she said, oh, okay. Hold on. we don't have to do this anymore. If you really don't want to do it anymore, we don't have to do it. And I was like, okay. So from that day on, I stopped at pageants because I was so tired and, you know, I didn't like getting all dolled up with these little dresses and things like that anymore.
And now you're kind of doing it just the opposite direction.
I mean, there, you know, and when I said I wanted to be a boy, I mean, there was a nugget of truth in it, you know? So, I mean, this might be a hot button topic, but I always subscribe to the notion that when a child tells you who they are, you have to believe them. You know, right. So I perform now as a man with suits on. I was in a pageant, and there's pictures I have of my mom and I side by side. One where she's holding me up in her arms, and I've got a crown on my head and a cape, like a king's cape or whatever.
Yeah,
and a trophy, and then a picture I don't know 30 years later, side by side where. She's standing next to me, hugging me, and I'm in drag, and I've got a crown on, and I have my trophy.
So your family obviously accepts what you're doing then.
Yes. Yeah. I can't say that my mom totally understands it, but she is very supportive. And she will give me advice. She'll watch the videos. And so it's mostly comedy what I do. And yeah. I can, if she's laughing while I'm doing it, then I know I've done it right.
Okay.
This is Delightfully Different, and I'm Lexi. Today I'm talking to Buck Wild, a drag king from Dallas, Texas.
There are some numbers that I wouldn't show her. But I don't show her some of them, some of the adult only ones. I don't get naked on stage or anything, but some of them are kind of adult content that I just reserve for certain shows. But mostly it's just camp, a lot of camp. So, but my mom is really supportive of it.
Now, and you said you're married. Are you married to a man or a woman?
Yeah, I'm married to a man.
Or non-binary person.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what happened. This is the reason I started drag.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a really interesting story. I used to, when I was in roller derby, I used to go sing karaoke with him and a couple of other friends. He was one of the announcers, and his name was Ben Deho at the time. Hey. And, like, he used to see me sing on stage. I would sing a Motorhead's Ace of Spades, you know, just like Lemmy.
Yeah.
And so when we found out that one of our friends who's in the roller derby, Gloria Vanderbitch, when she was getting married, he and his buddies decided to put a band together, like a joke band where they played just, you know, silly covers. And he asked me to sing a couple of songs, a guest in the band for a couple of songs. He asked me to sing Morris Day's Jungle Love.
Okay.
And
yo.
Yeah. Yes, because he knew I loved that. And he said, yeah, he's like, be in the band and I'll be your Jerome, because he's a bald headed man.
Okay.
And he said, I'll hold the mirror for you and you can fix your hair and everything. He's like, if you want to do it in drag and perform as Morris Day, that would be pretty cool. And I said, I would love to do that. That sounds really fun. So I showed up at the church. It was a UU church. I was a bridesmaid. And then I made a quick exit and a quick change. And during the reception, I tried to avoid, it was in the area where all the pews are. And I tried to make an entrance without anybody seeing me. So I barrel rolled down the aisle and jumped up on stage and started singing, and everybody went crazy. And it was so fun. And I had the best time. And yes, I ended up marrying the announcer.
So you fell in love and fell in love with drag at the same time.
Yeah. And it just so happened that I think it might have been like 6 months later, we had the opportunity to do a drag fundraiser. One of the skaters had been to see Mustache Envy at Sue Ellen's and said, I talked to the Mustache Envy folks and they really want us to do a fundraiser with them. And they would be willing to teach us how to do drag and whoever wants to do this. So I was like, yeah, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
And so we had a couple of drag kings show up and show us the ropes and we did a fundraiser. And I did a duet with Randy Bottoms. That was their drag name. Randy Bottoms. And okay. we did a little rockabilly number. It was real cute. And one of the producers of a show at Sue Ellen's happened to see me there and asked me to perform in their show. And that was how it happened. From then on, like I just started performing as Buck
Wild. Sounds like fate, like it was meant to be.
Yeah, it really was. And so I've been in Mustache Envy ever since. So
do you wear like a chest plate when you're there so you can take your shirt off and have abs and stuff?
Yeah, well, when I first started drag, I was doing duct tape. Just duct taping down and wearing a binder because that was all that was available at the time. It was like 2013, 2014.
Okay.
There was no access to a silicone chest plate at that time on Amazon.
Okay.
But now there is. And I took a hiatus from drag. And when I came back, there were some kings wearing chest plates. There was a king named Logan LaCour and a king named Danny Foxtrot. They're both in the troupe that I'm in. And I was like, what is this y'all are wearing? And they're like, oh, it's the chest plate. And they were kind of showing us how it worked and everything. A couple of the older kings, we were all like, wow, this is really lifelike. I mean, it looks real. And when I had the opportunity to dress as Hades, I was like, well, I'm going to wear a toga. I might as well get a chest plate. And that's what I wear now. But I wear a lot of stuff underneath it, too, because I'm a 42 double D.
So, yeah.
So I wear a bra, a corset, and a binder underneath the chest plate.
Gotcha. How important is the bottom half? I don't want to offend you, but do you stuff
it? Oh, no. I wear a packer.
Oh, it's called a packer. It's got an S.
Yeah. At a family friendly show, I don't wear it.
Okay.
But at a at one of our shows, like at Sue Ellen's or whatever, which most shows aren't promoted as family friendly, but because they're usually at night at the clubs. So yeah. I'm normally wearing a packer, which it's so funny because I never actually bought a traditional packer because I know they make silicone packers that are pretty lifelike, but I never bought one. I just made a packer out of a Christmas sock. Well, you know, those fuzzy slipper or fuzzy Christmas socks.
Okay.
and duct tape. And that's what I've been using ever since.
And that's what, now I know what's in your pants. So now I'm going to feel funny if I ever meet you in person.
Yeah. Well, it's light. It's lightweight, but it gives the effect.
Can you tell me who Moby Dick is?
Oh, yes. I love Moby Dick. I'm so glad that I was going to bring that up, actually. Moby Dick is a drag king that kind of surfaced, I would say, in the early 2000s and is in a documentary called Venus Boys. I think Ken Vegas and Dredd. And I watched that documentary and I was like, wow, this is so cool. And they created a show called, and I'm actually wearing the shirt. Let me see. Let me show you. It's called Club Casanova. And they created a show there called Club Casanova in New York. And they're actually the keepers of the drag king history.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're still performing years later. And actually, Moby Dick was in a John Waters movie. So that's a pretty great accolade.
So I might recognize him then.
Yeah.
I love John Waters.
Yeah. In the movie Pecker.
Oh, I saw Pecker. Where
Moby Dick was the door person.
Oh, that is too fun. I'm going to have to rewatch that now.
Yeah, I think it was called The Pelt Room.
Okay. Yeah. So he's kind of like a godfather of drag kings.
Yes, very, very supportive of all the up-and-comers and travels the world educating people on the history of drag. So I just absolutely, they're the nicest person. They're so sweet. I love them. Aww. I love them so much.
For you personally, you are he when you're in drag and you're she when you're not in drag?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But I'm okay with they too, because I can see how people would, would not know or not know what to say.
They make sure.
Yeah. So I'm she, they out of drag, he, they in drag.
Are you ever bullied for this hobby of yours by anybody? And I see that Texas, you're in Dallas, Texas. That seems to be one of the states where they're trying so hard to stop drag. How is that affecting you?
Well, I would say the main kind of bullying would be online bullying. Because people are so brave behind their computers, behind their keyboards.
Right.
So I got interviewed for an article for the Dallas Observer, and it came out a few weeks ago. And it was basically about how drag kings don't get any visibility or respect or anything like that. It was something like that. And here they come. All the cis males come in and start just blasting with, and I try not to read the comments. I really do. Right. But it's hard not to, because you want to be able to defend yourself. So you go to read the comments.
You got
to
let it go, though.
And I mean, I would say more so in this last couple of years than ever. I never really had a whole lot of trouble, except for individual little moments. But now it's there's a whole lot of just bullying coming from, people who want to do away with drag.
Right.
So yeah, I don't even know if they're real people.
Half the time they're bots.
I can't imagine that people have this much hate in them, but so I want to pretend that they're bots. You know what I mean? So
do you do this full time? Is this your gig, or do you have a day job?
No, I do have a day job. I work in marketing for a major retail company at the corporate office.
So a real job. And then do you want to do this full time, or is this just going to continue to be a hobby?
Well, I mean, I don't know that this is, enough consistent pay.
Right.
To pay my house payment. It pays well in some cases. It doesn't pay well in other cases. There's some dry spells. There's some, where you're overbooked moments. But also, it's very physically demanding and mentally challenging sometimes. So, after a show the next day, I'm laying in bed, with a Pedialyte.
Yep.
And I'm almost 47. So, if I were younger, maybe I would say I would want this to be my full-time job.
Right.
But as I'm approaching 50, I think that I'm happy doing both my regular day job and drag. I could get by, doing just drag, but I also want to be able to afford my costumes.
Being comfortable is very important.
Yeah. Because costumes are expensive, and I work my day job so I can pay for my house and pay for my costumes.
Oh, you consider it's the drag scene, being a drag king, is it like a family? You said you're with a troop of people.
Yes. Mustache Envy is my chosen family.
Okay.
And I love them so much. They're the sweetest people, and we really support each other. And that was one thing I mentioned a while back on a post. I said, we don't compete with each other. We lift each other up. So, and Mustache Envy isn't just kings. It's, there are queens, there are non-binary beings in it. The mom and dad, I would say, would be Sharon Carey Musico. And they are the producers of the show, along with Roxy Rendezvous. And there are some kings in there that have been doing drag since, 2011, 2012. There are some that are kind of newer. We don't have a lot of newer people coming in because it's a pretty set cast, but we finally have started to rotate a newer king in as a tomcat to, pick up our clothing, our stripper droppings is what they're called.
Okay.
Where, if you take off pieces of clothing and you just drop them like a glove and you throw it into the crowd or something, they will collect those and bring it back to you at the end of the show.
So it's kind of like a way to get in, a way to start, maybe get your foot in the door by doing that. Where can people go to watch you in the coming months, and how do we follow you on socials?
Okay. So you can see me at Any Mustache Envy on the third Friday of every month.
Okay.
And upstairs at Sue Ellen's. I'll be walking the runway at the Haute Noir show. I'll be wearing latex. Latex suit walking down a runway at the church. Okay. So that'll be September 2nd. I will be also in the Hotter Than Hell burlesque show coming up at the Kessler Theater with Ginger Valentine and Ruby Jewel. And it's going to be a pretty amazing show. So I do some burlesque shows, but I'm kind of the variety act.
Gotcha.
Which is pretty cool. My Instagram handle is buckwild, BUCKWYLDE _ drag king. And you can find me at King Buckwild on TikTok, because I do some cute little TikToks.
I saw.
Or on the same, it's King Buckwild on Facebook as well.
I'm going to put links to all of this when I post the podcast, so anybody can go find you and follow you and start liking you. And then I'll try to, or some of the things that you're doing coming up, are they going to end up on YouTube? Do people take video of it and throw it online?
Yes. I have a lot of videos online, so I can send you some links.
Okay. I'm going to find them all, and I'm going to post them on when I post this so that everybody can find you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for interviewing me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Drag king performances don't sound that much different from drag queen performances. Fun, funny, and campy. I'll post links to some of Buckwild's performances and some of the other things we talked about today. Coming up next Thursday on Delightfully Different, mermaiding is a thing. I'll be talking to a mermaid about what exactly they do. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Delightfully Different. And if you or someone you know lives life differently, I'd love to talk to you. Email me, LexiOnTheRadio@gmail.com. LEXI on the radio at gmail.com. Or go to DelightfullyDifferentPodcast.com. Have a delightful week.